Hey there, it's Dane Reinhardt, NAHU president, bringing you this month's President's Perspective, a conversation with current and future leaders of NAHU.
So we're here with another edition of President's Perspective. My name is David Smith. We're joined by NAHU President Dane Reinhardt, who obviously this is an audio recording, so you can't see, but Dane's wearing his brand new Ole Miss cap. I'm sure he got while he was delivering his daughter to Oxford recently. So Dane, welcome.
Thank you. Back from all that last week, got home from Oxford/Memphis on Wednesday, took my older daughter to her apartment at a local state university, and I'm empty nesting, liking it.
Good. One of the other things Dane and I have in common now is that we both have daughters in Oxford, Mississippi, and have been down there a couple of times together. Incoming president-elect Eugene Starks, both of his daughters went to Ole Miss, so I guess we got to start working on everybody else in the executive committee to get them to send their kids to Ole Miss so they can join in the club.
I did share an email that I wouldn't be on the board call visually last week, and that I said I'd be driving to the heart of Region 5 in God's country. And then I got a subsequent email from Paige saying that's impossible because you're not in Alabama.
Because you went to
Huntsville. I went straight through Virginia for God knows how long and then straight across Tennessee to Memphis. We never.
Okay, so you went to Memphis and South. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, not quite to Memphis, but yeah.
So obviously, you know, kind of ongoing discussion. Any new developments as far as NAHU over the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, the newest thing is that we have been working on this diversity, equity, and inclusion task force. When I say we, I mean the task force, not me. We have, by board as of like moments ago, gotten more than 9 ayes on the motion to approve the firm/vendor that's going to be handling the training and board consulting for that. That's hot off the presses, so to speak. That'll be something that we will be working on at the budget meeting, which is hard to believe is in 2.5 weeks. My understanding from the Finance Committee is that we have a balanced budget that will be presented, and we will have some discussions. There's a number of things that have been brought forth about things that need to be considered that weren't considered in the budget that have been brought to my attention. All positive discussions. But first and foremost, Mr. Membership Chair, we just need to figure out how to get some revenue in new and different ways.
No, and clearly a lot of efforts being made on membership and trying to relook at what that looks like in the future. This part of the conversation, I keep always thinking back about my experience as a state and local president and how those budgetary processes are always something that we go through trying to find the right way to balance out and at one level project and at another level guess what's going to happen in the next year. Obviously, none of us planned on COVID-19 when we were doing the budget last year in Washington, but with the reality of a virtual national convention this year, we wound up in a pretty good place on that and I think a good model for the future, but also with the recognition that we've got to find the right mix in the future for what we do in terms of the live versus virtual meetings. But also think about how those conversations really affect state and local presidents, which I'm glad to say that we're joined this week by Marshall Pickering, who is the Alaska AHU president this year. I met Marshall probably a year ago when I was up there for teaching a class. Met him and his mom, met a bunch of people when I was in Alaska. And so that was the first time I met him. But Marshall, appreciate Dane inviting you. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, guys. Really appreciate it.
Tell us a little about yourself. All of us have very interesting stories about how we wound up as the president or whatever. I'm always intrigued by people's hangover stories, I like to call them, since we always wake up and realize that we've committed to something we didn't know we committed.
So I joined NAHU about 5 years ago, I'd say. And I was pretty much voluntold to join the board by the president back then. And it was a really good opportunity to be professional development chair, and I ended up doing that for 3 years. And I had some really good mentors going through the ranks and going to some presidents that really, really supported me and helped me out. And it was a really good opportunity for me to network with other brokers. And back then, actually, I wasn't really a broker. I was more of a carrier rep for a voluntary benefits company. So getting to network with other brokers, you know, go to the board, see how, you know, they balance budgets and things like that was a really good professional development for me, just myself. So that's kind of how I got started and became president just this last year. And yeah, it's been a really good opportunity for sure.
I guess your mom has been in the business for a number of years. I remember, I think she told me she had been involved in the Alaska chapter and other chapters in the past. So just interesting, always had a second generation experiences as well. So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. My mom was president 2 years ago and she's been in the business a long time. She actually got me into the business about 7 years ago when she moved to Alaska, and she had a really good successful agency down in Bellevue, Washington. And I remember the day when she was telling me about how she's working with a big prospect up here and she just couldn't let the opportunity pass by her. So she's like, one day, I remember sitting in our kitchen, she's like, well, I'm moving to Alaska. This is back in 2012. And I was like, well, what am I supposed to do? You know, you're just leaving here. I'm like, what am I supposed to do now? She's like, well, you can either move with family or I don't know, it's whatever you want to do. And so I thought to myself, I was like, well, why don't I join you? If it's such a good opportunity, let me join you in a business. And she thought I was crazy. I was only 20 at the time. And she's like, you know, you're going to have to pick up the phone and call business owners and set up appointments and stuff like that, right? I was like, well, I'll figure it out. You know, I'll do whatever I can to succeed. So we moved to Alaska together, and that was 7 years ago. And the rest is history, as they say. So, but yeah, I think moving to Alaska was definitely one of the best decisions I've ever made. And join the business. I guess we all have a really unconventional path in joining this business, right? I think joining a family-run agency is always a good idea if you're able to take that opportunity, because you get to be able to grow and see how your parents or, I guess, you know, other folks that are successful in the business do it. And that's how you learn, you grow. And she was a great mentor for me, and she was very successful in it. But it wasn't like, here, I'm going to give you a bunch of opportunities and I'm going to, you know, walk you through it. It's, you know, you have a sales quota, you have to go out there and make it happen. So I think that was really, really instrumental for me earlier in my career to be uncomfortable, get out of your comfort zone, get out there and make things happen. So yeah, it was a really good opportunity to grow. And Alaska itself is a great place to live. I mean, I was just telling Dane here before we hopped on that I just went camping this weekend and hiking, and people in Alaska are really, really great. So growing and starting a career in a place like Alaska has been a really, really great start for me for sure.
And I mean, it's interesting. We just recently hired somebody whose father's also in the business. I do think it's fascinating how when you come into this business and your parents have been in it, I think they're actually harder on you than they would be somebody else, because they kind of think about their own experiences. None of us remember the good things we had when we started. We always think about how hard it was, and we need to make sure everybody else understands how hard it was too.
I definitely think that there's a lot more tough love when it comes to your, you know, your parents in the business, but I think it's good. You know, at the end of the day, they want you to succeed and they want to push you to be better. So I think that in the end, it always is good to get out there and just make things happen. But that's where you lean into mentors. As I mentioned before, I had some really, really great mentors, and joining Nahu was really, really helpful for me to get more comfortable with knowing how the business works. And so I became a broker just over a year ago with USI. But in Alaska, we're all together, and it's a small chapter. There's only like 65 folks that are on the chapter, but you know, it's very tight knit. Yes, we're all competitors really at the end of the day, but we're all in this together. That's why I think Nahu is a great opportunity for folks to get to know other people and grow. Because without that, I mean, we're all just kind of siloed. We're all by ourselves doing our own thing. We have to work together, you know, in our local and then in a national perspective to move the industry forward. And that's why going to things like CapCon, National Conference, really helped me kind of understand really what Nahu does. Because if you're not even on the board at a local chapter, you're not going to see all the amazing things and all the amazing people that Nahu brings together. And so going to those different national events really, really helped me, meeting folks like you, David, Dane, Pat Griffey, all these other great people.
Yeah. And Marshall, you represent one of the areas of focus for this current board, as I mentioned earlier, is diversity, equity, and inclusion. And as part of the diversity spectrum in there, and David being membership chair, we're looking for ways to become more diverse in every way you could imagine that that word could be used. And inside of that is certainly the age demographic. And there aren't that many leaders, especially in the state president level, that are in their 20s, that are also brokers. And it's a demographic and a space inside the diversity spectrum that we need so badly to cultivate. So do you have any thoughts on A, what it's like to be in a leadership position at an age? Well, I don't consider you young. I consider you young compared to the demographics of the NHU average member. And then thoughts you might have on what NAHU could be doing to get more people of a younger generation, that Gen Z, millennial coming out of college, how we maybe can get more of your demographic involved?
Yeah, good questions. For me personally, being in a leadership role this early, I wouldn't be able to do it without a great support network on the board. As I mentioned before, I've had a lot of great mentors, and I definitely wouldn't feel as comfortable being president without great folks on the board. And getting new folks on board that are excited too has been a big goal of mine. We have a great membership chair that's newer to the board, but very, very high energy, that's really excited about the opportunity to bring in new members. So I think having positive energy, positive influences on the board has been instrumental for me. And to answer your second question, to get more younger folks involved, I think it really starts at folks like me that are young in the business that can help explain and show folks why coming out of college is a great opportunity. I never finished my college degree going into the business, so I kind of did trip into the business and ended up working out really good for me. But I think in general, this business offers a lot of growth and a lot of opportunities for folks that maybe have an unconventional path into a career. It's not really something that you need a full-on college degree to get into, but having a college degree certainly helps. I remember when I interviewed with USI, they said, man, we don't really care that you don't have a degree, but we'd like to see you grow and finish your college degree as well. So they really do want folks to go out there and finish what they started. But in general, I mean, talking to the kids at university nowadays would be really, really helpful to market what we do and how great of an opportunity is for younger folks to growth. And income obviously is very important for folks, especially when they're coming out of college. When I talk to people about what I do, they have no idea that's even really a business that they can join into. It's funny. I talk to people all the time. I explain what I do. They're like, wow, I didn't really realize that that was the type of job that you can have. They're kind of just shocked. And so I think just marketing to younger folks in general from the member level, NAHU level, it's not going to be an easy thing. It's not going to be something that you can flip a switch. It's going to all of a sudden people are going to know exactly what we do. So it's going to take some time, but I think it's great what you guys are doing at the board, focusing on that, because I think the younger people get into this business, the more they're going to like it, the longer they're going to stay in it. And in general, I think that's just going to grow NAHU and at the local level as well.
To that end, one of the multiple things I think that NHU can bring and deliver, and I think has delivered to a bunch of us, is leadership development. And I think that's so important when you're at the beginning of your career, because you learn how to deal with the person that you don't want to deal with, but also to solve problems together. You know, when you were talking about how you got in here and kind of college, but also the family, we've got to start thinking about recruiting the next generation of people, not only leadership within NHU, but the next generation of people in this business, because we do have an older, aging agency ownership contingent that are all not wanting to do this when they're 80 and 90. And so we've got to really start helping bring in that next generation, helping them get to their next steps and to go from there. I mean, to me, your involvement gives us a chance to really highlight that. I really think it's an area that we've got to pay a lot of attention to.
Yeah. Like I said, it's not going to be easy. It's going to take some time, but in general, we all have a voice, especially on social media, to go out there. You know, I want to do more video talking about NAHU stuff. Like, I've always wanted to do that. I needed to start doing it. I know it's not easy when you're trying to balance your business, your personal life, but I'm such a believer in what NAHU brings, the value that we can all do our part to explain and show the value. And I think it really helps when folks can go to NAHU events. This has been a weird year, obviously, with COVID, not being able to go to a live national conference, things like that. But those events really, really do help solidify the value that NAHU brings. Like I said, I think it's really, really good opportunity for young folks. There's a plethora of different growth opportunities from whether you're account management, you know, broker themselves. Voluntary benefits, where I started out, was a great opportunity, great stepping stone to becoming a broker. I want to get paid in relativity to what value that I bring. And I think this is an industry that helps people do that because it's not easy. I mean, you go to college, let's say, like back when I was going, deciding what I want to do with my life, I didn't know what I wanted to do. You know, growing in high school, where I went to a really great high school in Bellevue, one of the top high schools in the country. And they would always ask me, hey, what do you want to do? I just didn't know what I want to do. So for you're a person, if you're in a position where you don't know exactly what you want to do for a career and you don't want to put yourself in a massive amount of debt, if you can't afford college, my parents weren't going to be able to put me through college. So I decided this route was going to be a great route to go and just kind of fell in my lap. But in general, you can start out doing something where you're getting out there and you're building experience. You're getting confident. You're learning those soft skills, you know, how to talk to people, how to, you know, shake hands with very, very prominent people in your community. It just helps you grow in general. So for the young folks that might be listening to this, it's a really good opportunity for you to expand what you think you can do.
Oh, no, that's awesome. I mean, one of the great parts of this, Marshall, for me is, I mean, I've known you, I think we probably had a couple meals together when I was in Anchorage, and I think we saw each other at CAP conference this year. But to me, it's all the things you're saying are the things that I think there's definitely a generation of people out there who we need in this business, who are really the next group. And I mean, to me, it's just, it's exciting and encouraging. As I mentioned, we've hired recently a 24-year-old to start working for us. Her dad is in the business, but she'll be working for us. And to me, it's the fun part. I like teaching. I like the opportunity, but also like the encouragement because I think it's a respectable business. I mean, I like what I do. Somebody asked me one time what I did, and I said, basically, I sit around all day and solve problems. By not having to solve the same problem more than once, that makes my life easier. I mean, there are parts of this job that just drive you crazy. And the reason why most of us go home at night can't do anything but just completely rest. But to me, it's also a fun, meaningful business because we're helping people who don't know any better what to do. I mean, your friends, what you said about your friends not even knowing that was a business is another real reason why we exist. So.
Yeah, exactly. It's strange when you explain kind of what you do. So what do you do during the day, Marshall? Like what is it that you do? Well, I explain it and they're like, that's a job. Like that sounds like really, really easy and fun. And it's not easy, but it is a lot of fun. And solving problems is always something that I enjoy. And like I said, you get paid in proportion to the value that you bring to your clients. I've always wanted to do something where I solve big problems for folks. And at the end of the day, you really, really do bring a lot of value to your clients, saving them money, but also helping them on their day-to-day operations. HR folks, they have so much more on their plate than they've ever had before, especially with COVID. I think at the end of the day, it really is a great place to make a difference in your community because we're all working in our own individual communities and helping folks that are in whatever city or state that we live in. Alaska is a big state, but we work with clients all over the place, all over the state.
We're going to wrap up because I want to hear the funniest camping story you have from Alaska because I've heard doozies from anybody who's, I wasn't out too much, but I know that when I was there, I had the unfortunate opportunity of trying to walk across to a hill and stepped off into a 5-foot ditch that looked like it was solid ground because it was nothing but snow. Tell us your funniest story from being outside and the fun stuff you like to do outside in Alaska.
Yeah, I got a pretty good one. So first summer I moved up here, my mom was dating this guy who was a big avid fisherman. So we went out on the Kenai, which is one of the most legendary rivers that you can go and fishing for salmon and trout and whatnot. And I still remember this day, this gal was fishing and you could tell she doesn't fish normally. She got a pretty big salmon on her line and she fell into the water because it dragged her out and she was floating down the river. I remember there was about 18 people running in to grab her. She was getting dragged down the river. Oh my gosh. I felt so bad for the gal. She probably never has gone back since for that experience. But she caught a big salmon. They were actually able to get it on, you know, get it onto the shore. I felt bad for her, but you know, hey, you ended up getting the fish though. So you got
to say she got the fish.
I don't think I would ever expect there to be a salmon big enough to drag somebody out into the water. That's even funnier. Well, thanks, Marshall, for joining us.
Thanks, Marshall. And We'll be recording again right before the NHU budget meeting. We're in the middle of the Republican National Convention, having just finished the Democratic National Convention last week. So there'll be a lot to talk about coming into the fall, fourth quarter. David and I will be having more guests coming on throughout that period of time leading up to the election and beyond. So thanks, everybody. As always, you can reach me at 410-746-5281. Feel free to message me with any ideas, suggestions, thoughts, and input. Look forward to it and talk to you in a couple weeks.